The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sowa
and Abraham Donko.
In the headlines, railway workers call off strike. Over 72,000 households in Ashanti benefit from leave disbursement. Namibian delegation in Accra to understudy Ghana National Service Scheme. Call for anti-drug policies and programs to change focus towards apprehension of cartels. Pro-Russian forces hand over flight data recorder to Malaysian experts. An Israeli fire destroys hospital and claims several lives in Gaza. Workers of the Railway Workers Union of the Trades Union Congress, TUC, have called off an indefinite strike that began yesterday. The workers served notice of withdrawal of services in demand for better conditions of service. The workers, after a meeting with President Mahama last night, called off the strike after assurances that their demands will be met. The meeting agreed on the setting up of a committee to look into the salary and conditions of service of staff. The Ministry of Finance was directed to make funds available for repair works on the rails.
The NPP says in order to wrest power from the ruling NDC, there is a need to strengthen the capacity of polling station executives in the discharge of their duties. Speaking at a training program for polling station executives in the Klote Kwale constituency in Accra, the spokesperson for Nana Akufo-Addo, Mustafa Hamid, said the training will equip the executive with knowledge on electoral processes. He said the executives will also be educated on how to win more voters for the party. A report by Priscilla Appiah and Sylvia Jagmasu.
Mustafa Hamid said most of the polling station executives are not able to give accurate reports on electoral processes, hence the need to educate them on the upcoming district assembly and 2016 general elections. He said when the representatives have knowledge on the party's ideologies, beliefs and principles, they will be able to give complete details on issues and convince people to join the party.
The purpose of this workshop is to strengthen the capacity of our polling station people to make them ready for the next general election. Take them through the principles that we stand for. It's important to understand how to be able to talk to people and how polling station people can convince people to join our party. It will give them a better understanding of the party and they will better understand why when we were in government we did what we did.
The Klote Kwale constituency chairman Ninoy Norty said a closer look at the 2012 petition reveals that there were a lot of lapses on the part of the polling agent. He said the NPP is leaving no stone unturned to win the upcoming election. He was optimistic that the training will positively impact on the executives.
The first thing we want to start is equip our people with the knowledge of the party and the knowledge of electoral processes. When they have these things, we believe that they can go out there and defend the party and bring in new members to the party. Looking at our court issues, the election petitions, we realize that most of our polling agents even signed where they weren't supposed to sign. After this training, I am looking forward in seeing a new reinforced polling station executives in Klote Kwale constituency who are ready for battle 2016.
The four-day training program is dubbed Strengthening the Grassroots Structures for Victory 2016.
That was Priscilla Pia and Sylvia Jackmasu's report.
Speakers at the West African Executive Short Course on Human Rights and Drugs Policy have emphasized the need to incorporate a human face into drug policies and programs. This is expected to help deal with stigmatization and provide adequate support for addicts. The speakers pointed out that the era when drug policies and programs criminalize addicts must end. They insist that investigating and arresting cartels must be the new focus. Radio Ghana's Gloria Anderson was there and now reports.
The 10-day West Africa Executive Course on Human Rights and Drug Policy is organized by the Open Society Foundation and the Faculty of Law of the University of Ghana. Participants are from countries in West Africa. The course will provide a platform for participants to debate on the evolving relationship between drug policy and human rights. Using Ghana as a case study, the participants will dilate on the perspectives of Ghana and interventions made to manage the drug menace. The outgoing menace Minister for the Interior, Kwesi Ahoy, admitted that Ghana has had its own challenges in tackling illicit drug abuse and trafficking, highlighting the negative effects of drugs on nations and families. Mr. Ahoy cited mechanisms put together by government to address drug trafficking.
The government of Ghana has increased the staff strength of the Narcotic Control Board from 189 staff in 2007 to 559 in 2013. Consequently, there's been an increase of narcotic presence at the Kotoka International Airport, the Avariance Cargo Village, the two seaports of Tema and Takari.
Mr. Ahoy said Ghana is poised to tackle drug trafficking and abuse and will ensure that human rights issues are considered in drug policies. A resource person, Dr. Kwesi Eni, emphasized the need for debates on drug trafficking to focus on prevention and access to treatment rather than incarceration. He admitted that the challenge faced by many African countries who sign international drug policies is implementation. He called for a more focused approach to tackling drug abuse and trafficking.
First, the human face bit. I mean, when you treat people humanely, irrespective of the circumstances and the conditions under which you have arrested them, it just shows your own human side. Now, catching the big guns relates to tinkling with the very manner in which the state hangs together. Those who engage in this business cut across every single layer of the society. But it's not just about ordinary people in the public sector or powerful politicians, but it's also our acceptability as ordinary people accepting the economic spin-offs that arise from the trade. You know, so we need to have a much more holistic look at it. Well, you don't give a person slaps, first and foremost. You don't kick him. You don't put him in a prison that is for dogs, or you don't put him in what people call a human zoo. You know, so one is to sign international convention that says we are going to use a human rights approach. But where do we put them when we get them? What is the state of our prison?
The chief executive officer of the Narcotics Control Board, Akwesi Sapon, emphasized the need for a flexible and a balanced approach to fighting drug abuse and drug trafficking.
Gloria Anderson reporting.
The Narcotics Control Board has opened an office at the Kumasi Airport as part of measures to improve the fight against drug trafficking. The opening of the office is in view of increasing domestic air transport, with the Kumasi Airport being one of the most patronized regional airports. The Ashanti regional head of NACOP, Ben Datsi, who made this known to Radio Ghana and Kumasi, explained that the measure is for the board to get ahead of drug traffickers. Mr. Datsi appealed to Parliament to speed up the passage of the Narcotics Control Commission Bill to raise the status and powers of NACOB.
A delegation from Namibia's National Youth Service is in the country to share knowledge and learn from the Ghana National Service Scheme, which is the longest on the continent. Speaking in Accra during a courtesy call by the delegation, the Deputy Minister of Education in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudjetua Blakwa, said the engagement of tertiary students to do their national service is one way of dealing with unemployment and a perfect transition of students into the world of work. Mr. Blakwa said as a way to motivate the volunteers, government has increased the allowance by 40% to help cushion them from economic hardship during their service. Yvonne Atilego reports.
The four-member delegation led by Charles Gabujani, who is also a board member of the Namibian Youth Service, will among other things learn from Ghana's success stories, especially with regards to the youth in agriculture programs initiated by the service. Mr. Okudjetua welcomed the delegation and urged them to learn from the National Service Scheme and replicate any of their initiatives in their country.
The national service period has given a good buffer so that whilst you are doing your national service, it even gives you opportunity to justify your inclusion if you want to stay in the organization or you want to join the profession where you have been attached to do your national service. Also, if you want to stay, we have as part of the scheme, there's also a mechanism where you can volunteer another year of your life to serve. And so all of that also helps us to manage the unemployment situation and expectations of graduates as they transition into the world of work. As a government, we remain committed to the scheme. We are doing everything possible to strengthen it. Recently, we increased the allowances for the national service personnel. I think it was by about 40%. And we continue to do this so that though it is quite sacrificial and that we encourage the students to accept the full those things and to be able to give back to society.
The head of the delegation, Charles Kabujani, said they are marveled by the National Service's success story in agriculture. He said they will explore other initiatives by the service.
Namibia has been stable for the last 25 years, and Ghana has been stable for so many years. We feel we have many commonalities among us that we need to cement, apart from those that were cemented in history by our leaders. And therefore, we come to share ideas and learn from each other. We have a National Youth Service as a statutory body, having been functioning for the last 13 years, and 7 years as a statutory body. The first lesson that I've indicated is that it's managed here by the Minister of Education. I come from the Minister of Education myself. It's something that I need to explore. Do we need to have a National Youth Service on its own, or should be linked to the ministry?
The delegation, which is in the country for a week, will also visit farms of the service across the country.
Yvonne Atilego reporting.
The Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection has started a disbursement of 9,128,856 Ghana cedis to 72,780 beneficiary households under the Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty Leave Program. The payment, which has been done between yesterday and Friday, covers the periods March and June this year, will see the piloting of a cashless mode of disbursement to the beneficiaries. Addressing the media in Kumasi to mark the start of the disbursement, a deputy minister of the sector, John Alexander Korn, said 8,324 of the beneficiary households in 9 of the districts will receive their payment electronically as a pilot. According to him, 3 companies, IR Technologies, MTN and GIPS, have been contracted to carry out the electronic disbursement with the aim of reducing transaction costs for government. Mr. Akon disclosed that more than 64 other beneficiary households will receive their monies manually.
The Association of Africa Election Authorities is meeting in Accra to share experiences of member countries on the use of biometric technology in election management. The meeting is a platform for member countries to share their problems and how they were resolved. The chairman of Ghana's Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwejo Afrejan, said though technology in election administration has proved to be immensely helpful, it should not be promoted at the expense of the fundamentals of a good election, which are accuracy, transparency and fairness. Joyce Jechi and Constance Asantua have filed this report.
Though the manual way of voting had its own challenges that have been contested by opposing political parties, sometimes leading to anarchy, biometric voting equally has its own. It is in this regard that countries from the continent, including Nigeria, Cameroon, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Mali, are meeting in Accra to share experience on how to address technological challenges associated with elections. Addressing the delegates, the chairman of Ghana's Electoral Commission, Dr. Afrejan, noted that as useful as technology could be to election administration, there is no doubt that biometric technology comes with risks ranging from maintenance, storage, preservation, to security of data. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hannah Tete, expressed the need to protect data on citizens. She spoke about challenges of the technology.
The recent experience we had in Ghana at the 2012 election exposed us positive signs of using this technology, but also the challenge. In some parts of our country, in different constituencies, where people were not familiar with the usage of the equipment, there were breakdowns, there were delays, and in some instances, voting continued the next day, all of which created some amount of tension within our system.
Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission of Kenya, Abdullahi Sharawi, talked about how biometric voting has worked in Kenya.
In our opinion, the photo identification had a problem. I think it's mainly because of the training aspect. It was delivered with delay, but we have now understood it very well, and in all the by-elections which happened after that, is working extremely well. But for the voter registration, biometric voter registration system, we had a success of 99.9%. And that helped people, because the background why we adopted biometric voter registration was because of the election of 2007. There were problems, there were violence in the country, and the political system did not believe the manual system we had could be accepted.
The head of the EU delegation to Ghana, Claude Merton, said 11.5 million euro support to Ghana's electoral cycle from 2010 to 2016 is to assist the country's Electoral Commission's training school to serve as a center of excellence.
Joyce Jechi and Constance Asantua's report.
Government has been asked to put in place measures that will enforce law and order as well as reduce corruption in the country. This will help improve national cohesion and economic stability. A former national security advisor, Kofi Bentum-Panson, Mr. Corbin was joined by friends and loved ones to celebrate his 80th birthday in Accra. Georgette Cole and Dorothy Lawson were there for Radio Ghana.
Mr. Bentum-Panson asked Ghanaians to be patriotic since it's the only way one can be identified as such. He said Ghanaians must be proud of who they are and show it wherever they find themselves. To him, the absence of patriotism will mean the lack of protection for national interests.
The young ones should take care of themselves. They shouldn't waste their bodies before they age. Young men in this age very much. They should save their bodies because their bodies should preserve their intellect to make them useful. And then, above all, they should have the sense of patriotism, the love for country. If you don't love your country, you have no use. You can achieve everything, but if you don't love your country, you have no anchor, you have no roots, you don't belong, you have no identity. So I wish them well. It gives me a sense of joy to share my thoughts. Knowledge is meant to be spread. I am 80. God has granted me knowledge. I have to share it. Otherwise, I am of no use. So the thought that I have written something that can benefit people individually and the nation is a source of inspiration for me.
Mr. Kwanson was born on July 6, 1934 at Axim in the Western Region. He worked as a feature writer at the National Daily, the Ghanaian Times, then joined the special branch of the Ghana Police Service and became the Commissioner of Police in 1989. In 1990, he was part of the establishment of the Narcotics Control Board and became one of its board members. Mr. Kwanson has 10 books to his credit. These include You and Your Security Environment and Things Visible and Invisible. A website, www.kdkwanson.com, has been opened by the family for Mr. Bentum-Kwanson to enable the public access his books.
A report by Georgette Cole and Dorothy Lawson. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Railway workers call off strike. Over 72,000 households in Ashanti benefit from LEAP disbursement. Namibian delegation in Accra to understudy Ghana National Service Scheme. Calls for anti-drug policies and programs to change focus towards apprehension of cartels. Pro-Russia forces hand over flight data recorder to Malaysian experts. And Israeli fire destroys hospital and claims several lives in Gaza. We are back shortly. The news at 6 continues. The National Road Safety Commission continues to partner key institutions and individuals to reduce accidents. The latest in this collaborative effort is the Office of the National Chief Imam. The Special Assistant to the Chief Imam, Imam Alhaji Kuizama Osman, at a joint news conference between the Commission and the Office of the Chief Imam, challenged passengers to report reckless drivers to the law enforcement agencies. According to him, statistics from the Road Safety Commission indicate that most of the accidents are due to indiscipline on the part of drivers. He believes a strong collaboration between the National Chief Imam and the Commission will go a long way to reduce carnage on the roads.
The Office of the National Chief Imam of the Republic of Ghana is convinced that the partnership between us and the National Road Safety Commission, who amongst others are responsible for undertaking nationwide road safety education and promoting and coordinating road safety policies, could go a long way in creating the necessary scene for awareness creation and practical actions that could address some of the road safety challenges of this country. Passenger empowerment is one area of road safety campaign that has not been given prominence. This year, the National Road Safety Commission launched a passenger empowerment campaign, a way to empower participants, active road users. Statistics from the National Road Safety Commission shows that about 23% of total road traffic, which is in excess of 2,000 deaths, are bus occupants. I therefore advise all road users, and particularly the Muslim communities, to always wear their seat belts when traveling as they save lives. Passengers should also take their safety seriously. They should act as the police in vehicle. Always advise drivers to obey all traffic rules, and if necessary, report any misconduct to the nearest police station or post.
The communications manager of the National Road Safety Commission, Kwame Kubia, explained why the commission decided to partner the Chief Imam to advocate road safety issues.
Just as I saw, one will increase advocacy, or one will get to involve persons who have national ideas and respect to join the advocacy for better road safety practices. And people listen to them and also translate what they hear into action. So we firm belief that this partnership that we have with His Eminence, the National Chief Imam, will yield significant impact in the area of getting us to change from our negative ways of using the road to a more positive approach.
That was the communications manager of the National Road Safety Commission, Kwame Kubia.
The chief imam of the Gonja community at Mamobi, Nuhu Jaja, has cautioned the youth not to take the law into their hands to cause mayhem, but cooperate with the law enforcement agencies to ensure peace and promote development. He said no community or society can ever develop without peace. Malam Nuhu gave the caution at the climax of recitation and interpretation of the Quran to mark the end of this year's Ramadan. He said the Quran teaches total submission to the will of Allah and obedience to authority. He described as unacceptable the way some Muslim youth take the law into their hands to destroy property without recourse to the law. Malam Nuhu prayed for God's guidance and direction for the leadership of the country in its quest to provide better social and economic needs for the people.
Traders whose stores and shops got burnt during a fire outbreak in Kumasi Central Market last Friday have started erecting new structures from their own resources. A member of the Reconstruction Committee, Eric Buama, told reporters that the victims cannot wait for the 6 months that the Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly has promised to reconstruct the affected structures. Mr. Bon explained that the affected traders fear that when KMA reconstructs the stalls, the assembly would give them to different people. Mr. Bon made reference to what happened to former traders at the Krofu market who have been relocated to the Moro market but have for the past 6 years not returned due to the delay in rebuilding that market.
The president of the Ghana Baptist Convention, Reverend Ernest Edujemfi, has stressed the need for ministers of the gospel to be morally upright. He noted that it's essential for ministers of God to refrain from immoral acts and behaviors to set a good example to the rest of society. Reverend Edujemfi was speaking at the 26th Annual Ministers Refresher Course and Business Conference of the Ghana Baptist Convention in Accra. He said ministers of the gospel are the bridge between God and Christians and are expected to intercede for their flock, especially in times of difficulty. He challenged ministers to build a strong foundation of faith to enable them to operate effectively. The conference brought together pastors across the country. One of its highlights will be to adopt and pass resolutions for the convention.
The Ghana Police Hospital has closed down its mortuary to allow for renovation. A statement sent by the public relations officer of the hospital, ASP Julian Obing, requests the general public to send deceased relatives to other mortuaries in and around the country. The hospital administration regrets any inconvenience caused and hopes to communicate in due course the reopening of the mortuary.
The Supreme Court will on Thursday begin hearing the case in which Abu Ramadan, the National Youth Organizer of the People's National Convention, PNC, and another, are seeking an injunction against the Electoral Commission over the voter registration exercise. The court has further directed parties to file their responses to the statement of cases before it within 24 hours. The parties include the Attorney General and the Electoral Commission. On the same day, the Supreme Court would consider whether or not to consolidate a similar petition filed by Kwesi Dantoe Champong, a legal practitioner. The Supreme Court has granted a motion on notice for extension for the EC to file its statement of case in respect of the plaintiff's writ. In the case of Ramadan and Evans Nimakon, both plaintiffs are seeking a true and proper interpretation of Article 42 of the Constitution in relation to the use of the National Health Insurance Card as proof of qualification to register as a voter pursuant to public elections. The plaintiffs, both citizens of Ghana, are also seeking an order compelling the EC to strike off the names of persons who use the National Health ID Card to register as voters in 2019.
2012 from the Register of Voters in Ghana.
We are back after this short break. In foreign news, at least 5 people have been killed and 70 injured by an Israeli strike on a hospital in Gaza. The Israeli military said that targeted a cache of anti-tank missiles in the hospital's immediate vicinity, but doctors say several Israeli tanks shells hit the hospital's reception, intensive care units, and operating theaters.
Pro-Russian forces in eastern Ukraine have handed over two flight data recorders from the downed MH17 plane to Malaysian experts. The handover came hours after the UN Security Council voted unanimously to demand immediate international access to the crash site. Western nations say there's growing evidence that flight MH17 was hit by a missile fired by separatist forces, but Russia has suggested Ukrainian government forces are to blame. Experts say the black boxes were reveal the exact time of the incident and the altitude and exact position of the aircraft.
The Indian Academy of Pediatricians has warned that the issue of children being exposed to too much radiation from modern devices should be tackled immediately. The Academy said the array of gadgets that is now available and children being exposed to are dangerous. It warns that in the long run it can be hazardous for the child's cognitive development.
Johns Hopkins Hospital in the U.S. state of Maryland has agreed to pay $190 million after about 8,000 women joined a legal case claiming a gynecologist had secretly recorded their nakedness. Dr. Nikita Levy, who committed suicide last year, reportedly used cameras and pens and key fobs to record patients. Lawyer for the women, Jonathan Shothor, said they had been brutalized and described it as a betrayal. The settlement is believed to be the largest of its kind in U.S. history. Levy's misconduct was first brought to light by a colleague who saw a pen camera around his neck.
And now turn the news and in points again. The Railway Workers Union of the Trade Union Congress has called off the strike that began yesterday. The union, after meeting with President Mahama, agreed on the setting up of a committee to look into the salary and conditions of service of staff, and the government will soon begin a pilot of cashless mode of lead investment in the Ashanti region. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Mercy Soa in Accra.